Welcome to Scaling Wellness, the podcast that will give you all the tools you need to grow your wellness business and thrive in the online space. I'm your host, Caroline Kopp, Pilates teacher and health coach, turned business mentor for wellness experts, teachers and coaches just like you. This is the podcast where we uncover the strategies, stories and tools to help you to scale your wellness business, build impactful digital products and create the time, money and freedom that you crave. If you're ready to grow your online presence, make a bigger impact with your clients and in the wellness industry, and uncap your revenue, you are in the right place. Let's dive in. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Scaling Wellness. It is fantastic, as always, to have you here. I do not take it lightly that you've chosen to spend your time with me. So today we are going all in on memberships, probably something that most of you or many of you will have experienced. But we're going to be talking about, you know, are memberships still worth it in the wellness space in 2025? The truth about digital memberships that maybe nobody else is telling you. And are memberships still a smart move for a wellness expert? So let's get straight into it. And we're going to start by talking about the membership boom and why it worked and why it has been working. Now, memberships in the wellness space have existed for a long time, but digitally, they had a big boom around the pandemic. Now, that's not to say they didn't exist before. I had a membership back in my first one back in 2018. But the pandemic really catapulted us all forwards in terms of our tech know-how and our tech capabilities. And that's not just for us as teachers, but also for our clients. Everybody became pretty competent when it came to Zoom and logging into things and managing the tech and managing the kind of setup around digital classes, digital coaching. So during the pandemic, it worked really brilliantly because typically people go to a class or to a coach based on location. They tend to niche according to the nearest person, the best referral, the cheapest. And so that tends to be the reason why people choose a local class. But in the pandemic, when all of that closed down, all of those people just moved online. Most of them, the vast majority of my clients followed me into the online space. And so that meant that not only could I scoop up those people, but I could also scoop up people that were now outside of my location. So maybe past clients, people that wanted to work with me that had moved away, family members that lived a distance away. So the membership model for me and for lots of other people worked really, really, really well. And so that was a great intro to memberships for people. It offered our clients the flexibility and the community that they needed during COVID. It meant that everyone was safe, but it also meant that everyone that was craving that connection and that movement still managed to have it. It gave setting up a digital product a very low barrier to entry. And also it worked well for most people because it wasn't a hard sell. You know, most of your clients will have wanted something from you. Now, you may have either just gone for, weekly Zoom classes, or you would have set up a recurring membership schedule. And so it meant that you didn't particularly have to sell to them. They just did the same as they did before, but they came to you online instead of in the class or in the hall. And so it gave you that recurring income. Now, the reason why this gave all of our teachers and coaches with memberships a slightly false sense of security is because it was such an easy sell, because there were people actually wanting what you had to offer. They weren't necessarily going to go anywhere else. They were going to follow you and do what you had asked them to do, which is sign up to their sessions. They still wanted the Pilates, the yoga, the PT that they were getting before. So they just joined whatever it was that you put out there. So from a teacher's perspective, it meant that you grew quite quickly. You got people in the doors fast and easily, but potentially gave a slightly false sense of security. I know lots and lots of teachers and coaches who started off brilliantly with these mass influxes of people, but then it either slowed down or, worst case scenario, it actually fell off a cliff. And so this is why memberships boomed and why they worked back then. Now let's talk about how they can still work in wellness. Now, when memberships are done right, they can still provide a very predictable monthly revenue, which is really useful either as a side hustle, side part of your work, or as your entire business. They are brilliant for creating long-term client relationships and serving people at scale. They're easier to build and more compelling for your clients than just having videos on the site because, you know, it tends to be the case that if you join a membership, you get far more than paying £5 or £6 for an online class. So it makes it easier to kind of bank your content and repurpose things. A membership encourages community and accountability, and that's really valuable in wellness. It supports different clients at different stages in their journeys, especially when you offer layering or tiering to your membership so that you can serve different people at different levels. And it offers loads of flexibility for you to test and evolve your product, your pricing, your messaging, knowing that you are getting this recurring income. So that's all very compelling, and I can see why people want to set up a membership. Now, what I often find is that the people that want to set up memberships at this stage, now in 2025, are usually the people who are saying, I would like some recurring income in my business, so I will provide a membership with more of the same stuff. So to be clear on this, imagine that you are a yoga teacher and you have 10 classes a week and you'd like to cut 5 of them. So, but somehow you need to replicate that income. So you might think, right, I'll set up an online membership. And those 5 classes, those people, if they can't go anywhere else, can just come into my membership and I'll just do more of that stuff. Now, the upside of that is those people probably will join the membership. The downside of that is that no one else will ever join that membership. And the reason for that is because of the pitfalls and the reasons why most memberships fail. Now, the first reason is a lack of a niche. Now, a niche is imperative with any digital product. It differentiates you from the yoga teacher that's just providing you more yoga and therefore will attract in the people that, you know, from those 5 classes that she's cancelled. But once she fills those puts those people into the membership, no one else will join because you can get yoga anywhere. You can get yoga for free online. Her members will join her because they already know her, like her, and trust her. So they will follow her. But new people will not join when it's just more yoga. Because why would they? They can go to YouTube, they can go to any teacher in the world at any time and probably pay less, probably get more, probably have better quality. You know, there's so much competition when you put yourself in a yoga space. So we need to really niche down what that membership is going to be about. General wellness memberships in 2025 don't sell. And so if you're sitting there thinking, I'd just like to add a membership to my business, you know, it's just going to add a bit of passive income. I can promise you now, you might get a bit of passive income. You know, you might get a few people joining, but it's not going to change your life and it's going to be incredibly hard to scale. So that's my personal input on that based on what I see happening in the industry. Now, that niche is so important for inviting in the right people. The other side of this is that when we don't niche and we just provide more, think about the yoga teacher again. Let's go back to her. If we're just providing more, one of the biggest reasons why people leave memberships is overwhelm. Now, if you've got a membership where you're providing daily classes, monthly challenges, weekly live sessions, meal plans, blah, 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 blah. That is so completely overwhelming for your people that most people leave memberships because they don't feel like they're using it. They don't feel like they're getting the value from it because there's too much stuff. So making sure that we're not overfilling our memberships is another really important element. It's one of the common pitfalls. It's one of the reasons most people leave, and therefore one of the reasons why most people fail. Now, the other side of this is that we need to provide some kind of win fast for people that join our memberships. We need to make sure that particularly new people who don't know us are getting an immediate outcome. So we need to be really clear again on our niching, what it is that they can expect to achieve or transform within a certain set period of time. Because memberships are overwhelming for people. People will cancel quickly if the value isn't immediate and clear. So we need to give them immediate value, an immediate win, and it has to happen fast, within the first 30 days. And so if you are going with a generic yoga membership, it's going to be very hard to create an A to B transformation in there. If you were going with something more niched, like a yoga membership for new mums with babies under 3 months old wanting to reset their diastasis recti or something like that. If you were providing something more specific, you can get clearer on what the outcome is. So people will join, they'll get a win, and then they'll stay. So bear that in mind, that that's one of the most important parts of creating a new membership. One of the other pitfalls that I find people fall into is undercharging. Actually, you know, these kind of 10, 12, 14 pound a month memberships are great if you have high volume. If you've got thousands of people coming in, then brilliant. And I can't tell you how many times people have said to me, you know, if I just get 100, that's a really good, you know, passive income. Well, first of all, it's never passive. That's very, very hard to get 100 people into a membership passively. But also, you need really high numbers to be able to get a decent or scalable or life-changing income. And really, I don't want you to cap yourself at 100 people. Really, I want you to be getting as many people in as you can so that you can get that life-changing impact for your life, so that it can really change your world and add revenue, add scalability, add freedom into your world. And at 9, 10, 14 pounds a month, that's going to be really hard to do. And you're likely to reach burnout before you reach your goal. And you're also likely to feel quite resentful to the people that are in your membership because they're not really paying a lot, but they will ask a lot of you. Bear in mind that a very, very high volume membership is going to require a lot of management. You're going to need someone on that's available to answer questions. That, you know, people don't care that they're paying £14 a month, and nor should they. They should be getting the outcomes what they're being promised. And so you will need to be able to manage those people, create communities, answer questions, deal with tech issues. So the more people you have, the higher the risk of burnout is for you. So remember also that to get a high volume of people, you're going to require a huge amount of marketing. That is never passive, and it's usually not really free unless you have a huge audience. So that marketing really has to pay for itself. You really have to be getting the people in, and they need to be staying. That we need to have very low churn in a membership. And that's quite hard to do without a very specific niche, because it's very hard to actually get people give people a reason to stay. Okay, so let's have a look at some signs that a membership might not be the right thing for you. And then we'll come to look at the things that, you know, could work for you. So signs that a membership might not work for you, I would suggest maybe if you're not clear on your niche, or if you're not clear on the outcome or transformation or promise that you are going to deliver. Maybe you don't enjoy content creation or community management, both of which are going to be absolutely vital for building a membership. If you are hoping that your membership will run itself, then it is definitely not for you. A very hard truth is that it won't. It won't grow on its own. It won't retain members on its own. It certainly won't scale on its own. And you need to be very active when you're running a membership. You need to be providing constant content for people. If you are also very early in your digital journey and you don't have an audience, a membership is going to be really hard for you. If you have an online audience of hundreds of thousands, a membership could work really nicely for you because you've got people there. But if you've got a couple of hundred in your Instagram, or, you know, a couple of thousand even, finding people that are willing to put money to work with you that don't actually know you is going to be really challenging. So if you're early in your online journey, then a membership is not probably the right next step for you. But what makes a membership really successful in 2025? How can we make this work? So firstly, I've talked about it already, a hyper-specific niche with a clear promise or transformation. That is what makes it work. That's what draws people in. That's what gives people an outcome. It makes it very clear for people what they're getting, what they should expect, and when they should expect it by. And the great thing about that is that you know if those people follow the program and follow the plan, you can pretty much guesstimate, and over time you'll be able to get very good at that because you'll have data, that you can really get pretty clear on how long people stay for, typically. A successful membership has less content and more outcome. Don't overwhelm, don't over-deliver, just deliver the things they need. I hear people all the time saying, oh, I need to do 3 live sessions a week and I'll have to do it in the morning before my classes. And, oh, I hate getting up early. I don't really want to do it, but I will. And then only 2 people turn up to each live and doesn't feel like it's worth it. Don't over-deliver. Deliver the things they need to get the outcome you're promising. One of my members recently said, I need to add a membership after they've done the course with me. I need to put them into a membership. What is it? And then she put it out to the group. What does everyone else provide in their memberships? What should I be providing? It's the wrong question. The question is, what do your clients need to get the result that they want? What do they still need from you after they've worked with you, before they've worked with you? What are they coming to you for? What do you need to deliver to get them that outcome? Don't just deliver more stuff. Make it tailored, targeted, specific to the outcome you're promising. A really strong onboarding experience is really important when you have a membership. Something that's working really, really well is making sure that your members get a fast result. So they join and within a set period of time, you're guaranteeing them a result. So maybe it's, you know, join for 3 months and you will get X, and then we stay in the membership for ongoing support. So that onboarding experience, that kind of welcome, right, this is what you can expect and this is when you can expect it by, is really important in order to keep people. I see lots of memberships offering the kind of first week free or the first month free. We want to make sure that people actually stay longer than that. So the onboarding is really, really important. Inside memberships, I hear people say all the time, I came for something, I came for an outcome, but I stayed for the community. The community is what keeps the results going. It can be what brings in an element of competition. It can be what brings in an element of support, of accountability. So the community can really, really help to add value to your membership. Now, it doesn't have to be another Facebook group. It can be a Slack channel, a WhatsApp group, a Voxer group, and it can be anything you like. You can run it however you want to, but some sort of area where people can chat inside your membership is going to be really key and is very successful these days. It's one of the things that keeps people inside a membership is the people. You know, I've seen memberships recently where people are doing kind of local groups. So if you've got a nationwide membership, you know, having a group that's specific to an area so that people can meet up, so they can chat, so they can go out together. They maybe want to go on a, you know, a 3-monthly walk, you know, really you kind of curating that membership for them or that community for them and really helping them to find other people. It's a really strong reason why people stay. It might not be what they join for, but it's a nice extra and it's a reason why people will stay in your membership. And then just making sure that you've got very clear boundaries, very clear structure. People know what's expected of them. They know what they need to be doing to get the results. Don't make it woolly. Don't just provide an online video library that people can dip into because they won't. Try and make it as structured as you can for them so that they don't lose focus. And let's have a think about how memberships can work, or maybe how we can incorporate a membership, but maybe how that's not the only option for you. So if you've already got a membership and you're looking to scale it, one of the things that I see working really, really well and has worked really well for me as well is having some kind of onboarding focus. So what I've done in the past is run mini courses, like 3-week courses, reboots, kickstarters, resets, those kind of things that that give people an opportunity to dip their toe. They come in, they work with you for a certain amount of time, they get a quick win, and then after that, they join the membership. So that's a really nice way to get people into the membership, because people are nervous of memberships. They don't want to commit to a monthly charge. They worry about how they'll cancel. They worry about being overcharged. They worry about it being rubbish once they get inside. So having that little course, that little taster of working with you, and that could be free or paid, is a really nice way to get people then to jump into the membership afterwards, after they've had a nice quick win. You could also do that with a challenge or with a webinar or something where people get to experience you. Because usually people join memberships for you. They're going to be joining because they like you, your ethos, your focus, your direction, your structure, how you work, your personality, your story. They are joining for you. So the more of yourself you can show, whether that be in a workshop, a free workshop, a paid workshop, a challenge, a 5-day challenge, a 3-day challenge, a little short course, or even a long course, selling a 12-week course, you know, doing a proper transformation with people, then moving them into the membership for continuity, for accountability, for consistency, for maintenance. Memberships work really nicely as a back-end product. The other thing you can do is that you can kind of use a bit of an intensive periods of time to launch your memberships. So you could close the doors and say no one else is joining, so that you create a little bit of scarcity around your membership. Often memberships sit on people's websites at $14.99 and we cannot understand why people don't buy them. And usually that's just because it's a little bit too available. So by closing the doors and offering kind of intensives, or, you know, short opportunities for people to join. Maybe it's Black Friday offer, maybe it's a summer reset, maybe it's a new year, you know, offering times that people can join. So there's a little bit of scarcity and a little bit of urgency, and it just pushes those tire kickers over the line. But you can also do a digital product stack, which I've talked about briefly, but your membership can be a part of a movement, of a journey that you're taking people on. Maybe you have a person that's coming to you for, let's have a think, they've just had a hip replacement and they're coming to you for a 6-week immediate post-surgery rehab. And then after that, you're going to take them through the membership. And then after they've been in the membership for 6 months, maybe they then get offered an opportunity to do a short course with you where they build up their glutes. You know, so there are all these different ways that you can stack your products so that you're taking the same people through a journey, through a tailored journey. I do this in my business where people usually join, usually at the digital course creator level. But before that, they will have done something with me for free. So they'll either have done a workshop, or they might have downloaded the niche Nail Your Niche audit. There's all sorts of different ways that you could come in. But then typically they come into the digital course creator, and then they might move on to one-to-one, or they might move up to the Scaling Wellness Accelerator. But usually people move through a journey with them that's very curated, because I know that what people need in the first instance when they're creating their digital product is very different to what they need when they've had a digital product for a year and they want to scale it. It's very, very different focus, different needs, different requirements, different elements from me. So having that digital product stack and being able to take people through a journey is really important. And by that point, you know, by the time you offer people the third or the second thing, they already know you so well. They love what you do. They're already so invested with you. But by that point, they'll buy anything that you're putting out there because they just want more of you. So of course, we need to create quality. But what I mean is, as the longer you work with people for, the easier it is to sell to them, because they want what you're offering. You are curating products, knowing what they need next. So it makes selling really much simpler. Okay, so let's have a think. What's my personal take on memberships? Now, I've had memberships. I still have a membership. I have had memberships that I've closed, but I still have one that I run now, and I'm actually teetering on setting up a new one. But I don't have any memberships as a front-end product. I don't sell memberships. I sell products that lead you into a membership. So My personal view is that memberships are very, very hard to scale because they're expensive to scale and you don't get a lot of income up front. So long term, you'll be making that recurring income, but that's quite challenging when you need to be putting money into ads or some form of advertising on the front end. So I do think memberships have an incredible place for our audience, but I don't necessarily think they're the starting point. I think a non-negotiable is that you have to have a niche. Offering more of your stuff is not going to work. And what can be quite challenging is if you already have a membership. So if you're listening to this and you've got a membership and it's sitting with, a few tens of people in there, maybe 40, 50 people, and you're thinking, but I can't niche it because they're all so different. I don't know who is in there and what they're there for. Then my advice is to survey your audience, but also speak to them and say, look, this is what's going to be changing. This is what's going to be staying the same. You're very welcome to stay. I'd love you to stay. But just so you know, from now on, I'm going to be marketing it in a particular way. That doesn't mean that you can't be in it because the content will remain roughly the same, but I'm going to be marketing it. So I've got a lady at the moment who I'm working with who has a membership that she wanted to move into the mum space. She wanted to be really focused on new mums, but she's got some men in her membership. So she just went to them and said, look, I know that this is going to feel a bit weird, but essentially it's still a Pilates membership. My marketing is going to be focusing on mums, but I'd really love you to stay because the actual content is going to be the same. It's still going to be relevant to you. It's still going to be really helpful for you. And then she left it up to them whether or not they stayed. So you might need to target your market research your audience. You might not know. It might not be as obvious as male, female. You might need to just survey them and check who's in your membership already. But please don't let your current members put you off from niching. Because I know it can feel really scary to think, well, I might actually lose people first. But your chances of scaling become so infinitely bigger. So niching is a non-negotiable for me if you want to grow. If you're happy where you are and you've got people in there, you can sit tight. But if you want to grow or maintain, you need to niche. Now, when it might be worth pivoting from a course into membership is when you're looking to grow your membership. In my personal view, adding a course as a front end is more of an appealing option for people these days because people really are using the online space more for transformation than they are for maintenance. And a membership can struggle to create the transformation that we want it to. So I think a course of any length, but a short course if you're not sure, is a great way to give people that immediate result, that win, that quick win, and then move them into your membership. And it's a much more predictable way to grow your membership. So all roads then lead to your short course and then you transfer people into the membership afterwards. So I hope that has been useful. I hope you've got some takeaways from this and some things that you can go away with. If you are listening to this and you're thinking, right, I've got a membership, what do I do with it now? Then please do reach out to me and just let me know what your thoughts are. Send me a message on Instagram and it's at Caroline Kopp. I'll put that in the show notes. But just reach out and ask me the question and let's have a chat about your membership and how best to scale this. If you are also thinking, I know I need to niche more, but I don't know who to niche into or where to niche because you've got so many ideas and there's so many different people you can help, then I invite you to download my Nail Your Niche training. It's a free training. You can download it now and watch it straight away. And it will just walk you through the first stages of choosing your niche. How to choose something that you love, that they love, that has validity in the market, that people will pay for. I invite you to download that now. That's available straight away and I will put the link in the show notes. Any questions you have, please feel free to reach out. As always, it's been lovely to spend some time with you. Thank you for being here and I will see you again next week. Thanks for tuning in to Scaling Wellness. If you found today's episode valuable, I'd love to hear from you. Connect with me over on Instagram at Caroline Kopp and drop me a DM and let me know what your biggest takeaway was. Or if you know a friend or colleague in wellness who would find this podcast useful, I'd love you to share this episode with them or maybe tag it in your socials. It might be just what they need to hear today as well. And finally, if you are enjoying the podcast, don't forget, please rate and review. It helps more wellness professionals like you to discover the show and ultimately allows us as a community to grow the wellness message and help more people. So until next time, remember, the problem you solve for your clients still exists. So keep sharing your wellness message.